rains really hard, it's quite uncomfortable. And so you work with the horse and do what's comfortable, and it's easier.
And so, I mean, there's different ways, you know, we talked about it, horse, a bridle, hackmore. How do you use it to direct a horse where do you want to go? Is it just the bit, or, because James talks about how we can make a large horse go wherever we want.
Yeah, but simply by pulling on these, you know, this the piece of the mouth will push down on the tongue, and it pulls his head over, and he yields to it. Some bits can be quite a bit more aggressive, rough, brutal. I said, this is a pretty mild bit here. But it's amazing. The more you work with the horse, you teach the horse, less bit you need. And in fact, we were talking about this morning, the more the horse learns and grows and the better the rider, the less bit you need. You know, in fact, it's almost, I was using it as an example, it's almost like the Holy Spirit working in us. You know, a rider can move a horse simply by the pressure in his legs or in his hands. So less bit. And I hope I can learn to be like that with less bit in God. And
okay. Now, do horses always obey you?
Not always.
Have you ever been bucked off?
Oh, yes.
You just got right back on?
Get back on, yep.
That's what a cowboy does, huh?
Cowboy up.
Huh. Okay. Would you agree with this statement that the key to the bit is just getting the horse's attention or focus?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, James is talking about how the tongue, we need to control the tongue and get the focus. He says the same thing is true of our tongue. It controls the direction of your life, wherever you want to go. And a little bit of a word or a phrase can influence what that total direction of your life is. And then James goes on, if you're reading in your Bibles, he says, consider a ship. How many of you have ever been on a large ship? A few? Yeah, different people than were on the horses. Okay. Because ships don't always go where you want them to go. Now, let me ask you another question, Chris. Is it true that you've not only been a cowboy, but you've spent some time on large ships?
Yes, I've been a boat captain for almost 20 years.
A cowboy and a boat captain. Tell us a little bit about it, your experience.
Well, I started off as a volunteer, as a deckhand on a tall ship in California, teaching maritime history programs to kids, and then you know, years go by, and you work your way up the ranks, and next thing you know, a couple of years go by, and I find myself as a captain on a 140-foot schooner.
Cool.
You know.
So, how much would that weigh, a 140-foot schooner? 140, I think it's about 90 feet to the back wall. So 140-foot is about the end of the building, right?
Yes. So, the license I have is a 100-ton license, and these are about 99 tons, 100 tons, yeah, 99 tons. It's just short of 100 tons. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah, my mind, I can't even, I'm not a mathematician. That just is heavy.
Yes.
So where have you sailed? Where are some of the places you've sailed?
I've been throughout the Caribbean, across the Atlantic, across the Pacific, so I've covered some water.
Yes, you have. Have you ever been in a really bad storm that scared you?
I've been through an eye of a hurricane on a 37-foot sailboat.
Did that scare you? No, he's a
cowboy. I wasn't smart enough to be scared, you know. I just like, well, if this is it, you know, God's got it. And it wasn't it, so here I am.
Okay, so James says in verse 4, he says, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. What's a rudder?
A rudder is basically, it's a little trim tab on the back of a ship. So you have a ship with about, you know, it could be a 140-foot boat length overall, and you got 90 feet of that is actually in the water, and the rudder is going to be about 4 feet wide by about 6 feet long.
So a 100-ton, 140-foot ship is steered by a rudder that's 4 feet long?
Yeah. Yep. 4 feet by 6 feet tall, actually.
Wow. So it's very small compared to the ship.
Yes.
And this little rudder helps keep the ship on course.
Correct.
Well, of course, you can't turn on a dime, right?
Not so much.
No. So that means you have to chart the course and keep on top of the rudder at all times.
Yes, steering a boat is a constant activity, and you definitely plan well ahead.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you sharing, two of you. I don't know what else you've done in your life, but I don't know. Have you ever done brain surgery?
No, okay. No brain surgery.
Okay, we won't ask you those questions then. Thank you, Chris.
Save that for Ben.
Okay. Yeah. So now you know we have a cowboy and a captain in our church. James uses these two illustrations. And he's using them in comparison to our tongue. And he says our tongue directs where we go. In verse 4, a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. He talks about it steers. Your tongue is like a steering wheel of your life. It is the guidance system. And if you don't like the way that you're headed now, if you don't like the direction that you're headed now, change the way you talk. That's what James is saying. Many people think that if the tongue has such influence, maybe it's best to say nothing at all. You know, not talk at all, to be silent. I heard about a guy who joined the Trappist monastery. For 3 years, he was given a probation period where he was not to speak at all. But at the end of the year, each year, he could say two words. So the first year, at the end, he said, "Bed hard." That was his two words. At the end of the second year, he said, "Food cold." At the end of the third year, he's about had it. He comes and says, "I quit." The head priest says, "That doesn't surprise me. All you've done is complain since you got here." We need to watch our words. James says that my tongue directs where I go. So I've got to learn to control it. Then he says, my tongue can destroy what I have. In verse 5 it says, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame with fire. James here, he gives another illustration. Imagine a beautiful forest, tall, beautiful trees everywhere. And now imagine it in 1 minute, it's up in smoke. Completely destroyed instantly. With a little tiny match, it only takes a spark to get that fire going. You know, we've witnessed this personally here at Echo Mountain. We have seen the damage that happens when arson is committed. We've experienced the loss and the heartache of what a careless, stupid act can do. We've smelled the charred wood. We've seen the destruction on our building. James says that your tongue can destroy like that. You can lose it all. A careless camper can destroy an entire national forest overnight. A careless word can destroy a life overnight. Thousands of lives. You know that gossip is like fire? It spreads quickly and it wreaks havoc. I wonder how many people, because of a careless word, have destroyed their marriage or their career or their reputation or the reputation of another or their church or a friendship. The tongue not only has the power to direct wherever you go, but also destroy what you have if you don't learn to control it. James says it's like a fire. Have you ever met a verbal arsonist? Do you know what I mean by that? Their words are always inflammatory. James says that words like fire can burn people. Why do you think they call it Dean Martin's celebrity roast? Okay? Because you can burn people with what you say. Remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not totally true. It does hurt. A few years ago, I was watching American Idol, and I was watching the countenance of one of the contestants when Simon was speaking. You remember Simon? And we kind of get a kick out of it, but his words hurt very much. I was wondering what it would be like if we had a panel of judges here at Echo Mountain that after the service would critique my sermons or our worship, you know. And I don't know if we would have a worship team or a pastor for very much longer, because words can hurt. Fire and words under control can give tremendous warmth and light, but fire and words out of control can be devastating. It can destroy miles and miles of homes and land and people. In Proverbs 18:20, it says, "You have to live with the consequences of everything that you say." James in verse 6 says, "It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." The words, it's a whole life. He's saying here that words can create a chain reaction. You can say something that you didn't mean to have any harm, but it can have devastating effects that are beyond your control. Just a few inflammatory statements can set off a chain of events that we now look back on and call World War II. On a more personal level, you can come home from work and you're tired and you're grumpy and cranky. The husband walks in and he yells at his wife. The wife yells at the oldest kid. The oldest kid yells at the babysitter. The babysitter goes out and kicks the dog. The dog goes and bites the cat. The cat comes in and scratches the baby. The baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. Wouldn't it have been a lot simpler if the husband had just gone out and bit the head off the Barbie doll? Chain reaction. The course of hell, it says, set on fire by hell itself. Heard about a couple who came in for marriage counseling. And he says, "I said this, and then she said that, and then I said this, and then what happened?" Well, all hell broke loose. Our words can cause all hell to break loose. James says, you've got to learn to manage your mouth, not only because it can direct where you go, but it can destroy what you have. You can lose your family. You can lose your kids. You can lose your career simply by what you say. It's a fire. It's like a fire. Proverbs 21:23 says, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. And then James uses another illustration in verses 7 and 8. He talks about a zoo. He says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's humanly impossible. Only God can do it. James says it is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. You know, of all the animals we've tamed, no man can tame the tongue, humanly speaking. He says it's restless. That means it's always liable to break out at any moment. I don't know if you remember, in Las Vegas, there was a white tiger show called Siegfried and Roy. And they were working with these tigers and everything. And one day, one of the tigers turned on I don't know if it was Siegfried or Roy. A few years ago, actually in 2010, one of those cute Shamu whales, for no reason, killed its trainer in the middle of a show. By the way, their real names aren't Shamu. Their real names are killer whales. Trainers have not been allowed back in the water with killer whales during performances since that incident. James says the tongue is like poison. The word in the Greek literally is snake venom. And just a few drops can kill. You can assassinate somebody with your words, assassinate their character. The tongue is a deadly weapon. The third reason that we need to watch our tongue, James says, is our tongue displays who I am. Displays who I am. It reveals my character. It tells what's really inside of me. First, James points out how inconsistent we are in our speech. In verses 9 and 10, he says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. You know, he says, we say these things out of the same mouth. We come to church on Sunday. You know, the highest use of your mouth and your tongue is when you use it for praising God. So we sing praises to the Lord. Then we walk out, we get in the car, and on the way home, we argue about where we're going to eat lunch. You know, isn't it amazing how quickly your attitude can change? In 1 minute, you're saying, praise the Lord. The next, you're saying, shut up. The tongue is a strange contradiction. It's so inconsistent. It's amazing how quickly it can change. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, 1 minute we're praising God, the next we're cursing other people. Now, cursing here, you might be thinking, well, I don't cuss. But cursing here doesn't necessarily mean profanity. It means any kind of put down, any label. You know, you're good for nothing. Or you'll never amount to nothing. You're just like whatever. Any kind of put down is a curse. And he says, why curse men? They're made in God's image. This really bothers me. I think, how is it possible that we can be loving to people we love, like our kids, our wives, our husbands, and the next moment be harsh and cold and mean to them? How is it possible? How is it possible in 1 minute to be talking to my kids in gentle, loving tones and the next minute be mean to them? I hurt them. I am saying things that damage their self-esteem. How is that? You know, I grieve over that. I find myself asking forgiveness a lot with my wife and my family, especially to my wife. Do you struggle with an inconsistent tongue? James says we all have it. We speak lovingly in one breath and then lash out in the next. What gives? What's the problem? Why do we do that? Why can we genuinely mean something in love and kindness and then in 1 minute and then genuinely mean something in hate the next minute? James gives us the answer in verses 11 and 12. He says, consider the source. James says, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. The point is this. Whatever's in the well comes out in the water. Whatever's in the tree comes out in the fruit. What is the likelihood of an orange tree producing lemons? Zip. You know, when this is happening, my problem is not really my tongue. My problem is my heart. Because what's inside is what comes out. My mouth eventually betrays what is really inside, going on inside of me. You know, I can fool you. I can pretend, but eventually my tongue is going to catch me. It's going to let you know what's really inside. Have you ever heard somebody give you this excuse? Somebody says something really mean or hurtful, and they say, I don't know what got into me. You know, that's not like me to say that. I don't know why I said that. It's totally out of character. I didn't really mean it. You know what James would say? Yes, it is. It's just like you. You meant it. Quit kidding yourself. What's inside is going to come out. You don't have a spring that 1 minute gives salt water and the next minute gives fresh water. That's inconsistent. It's a natural law. What comes out of the well is what's inside of it. Jesus said this in Matthew 12:34. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus explained Freudian slip years before Freud even existed. He said, what's inside of you is going to come out. My tongue just displays what I am. It directs where I go. It can destroy what I have, but most of all, it displays what I am. It reveals my character. If you've got a problem with your tongue, it's not a laughing matter. It's much more serious than we think. It's not just a tongue problem. It's a heart problem. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. On the other hand, a person who is always encouraging has a happy heart. A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. A person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. So what is the solution? First of all, get a new heart. Get a new heart. You've got to get a new heart. Ezekiel 18:31 says, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Painting the outside of a pump doesn't make it any different. If there's poison in the well, I can change the outside, I can turn over a new leaf, but what I really need is a new life. What I need is a fresh start. I need to go all, I need to let go of all of the past and be born again and start over. I need to get a new heart. How do you do that? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person, a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New life, new heart, new spirit. When you come to Jesus Christ, he wipes out everything you've done in your past. He says you're starting over. It's like being born again. You need a new heart. We need to pray like David prayed in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Because what's in my heart is going to come out of my mouth. Here's the second part of the solution. Ask God for help every day. You need supernatural power to control your tongue. You can't do it on your own. Your life is living proof of that. We cannot control it on our own. We need supernatural power. So we ask God to help us. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a great verse to memorize. Basically, God put a muzzle on my mouth, you know. Guard my lips. Don't let me be critical today. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me say things off the cuff that I then regret. We need to ask God for help daily because we need his power in our life. We need God's help to watch our words. And God gives you the power to not slander, not lie, and not exaggerate. Getting into God's word is part of asking God for help. As you ask him for help, you need to read his word. I don't know if you've heard of the old computer statement, garbage in, garbage out. What goes into your mind goes into your heart, and what goes into your heart comes out of your mouth. So fill your mind with God's word, with positive things, whatsoever things that are true, and so on and so on. Think on these things. And then the third thing, part of the solution is think before you speak. Engage your mind before you put your mouth in gear. James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's a designation here. They go in order. First, be quick to listen, and then slow to speak. If you're quick to listen, you will be slow to speak. If you're slow to speak, then you will be slow to become angry. If you have a problem with anger, you need to work on being quick to listen and slow to speak. And the result will be you'll be slow to anger. Well, this morning, what does your tongue say about you? What does it reveal about you? If we were to play back a tape of every conversation you had this past week, what would we learn about you? God hears it all. Our tongues display who we are. What direction is your tongue leading you? Some people say, I'm just sick all the time. I can never do anything. Things are just getting tougher and tougher. What direction are your words headed? Our tongues control the direction of our lives. Like a bit. Like a rudder. A bit and a rudder must be under the hand of a strong arm. James is saying that the only way to get control of your tongue is to let Jesus Christ have control of your heart. Because whatever is in your heart is going to come out in your mouth. You let Christ's hand be on your bit. You let Christ's hand be on your rudder and let him direct your life. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to ask forgiveness. Maybe you need to go to your kids and say, I'm sorry. I've been inconsistent in the way I talk to you. Sometimes I'm loving, sometimes I'm harsh. That shows I'm like everybody else. I'm human. We all stumble in many ways, all of us. Maybe you need to apologize to your wife or to your husband. I'm not as loving to you in my speech as I ought to be. I tend to be apathetic, cold, indifferent. I talk to you harshly. I boss everybody around. I'm inconsiderate, inconsistent. Ezekiel says, get rid of all your offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Would you pray with me? I honestly believe that every one of us today need this message. It's a universal problem. Some people never learn to, they never learn to control their tongue. We don't want our lives to end up with this saying on the tombstone, here lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. I hope you don't have to wait that long. Would you pray this prayer in your heart right now? God, I need a heart transplant. I need a new heart and a new spirit come into my life. Maybe for the first time or as a recommitment, you say, take control of my life. What direction is your tongue leading you? Where are you headed in life? Where will you be 10 years from now? What do you talk about the most that tells me where you're headed? My tongue can destroy what I have. I could lose it all in a minute by a few careless words. Just like a cigarette dropped can destroy an entire park. Maybe some of you need to say, God, I've been a verbal arsonist. I say things that hurt other people, that hurt my husband or my wife or my kids. I say things at work that are unkind. I am harshest with those I love. The Bible says that displays what is inside. That's where the change needs to take place. Maybe you need to pray, God, would you give me help every day? Would you put a guard on my mouth? Would you help me to think before I speak? Lord, forgive me for the things I've said that were out of place. Help me with a new start this morning. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Help me to read your Bible and to fill my mind with the good things. If you have an overactive tongue, say, God, would you put peace in my heart so I don't have to talk so much? I've been negative. Help me not to be fearful. I tend to brag a lot. Help me to not feel insecure. God, melt the hard heart. Give me a caring, loving heart. Jesus Christ, take control of the rudder of my life and guide me in the direction that you wish. If you prayed any of those prayers this morning, God heard you. He heard you. Heavenly Father, we all need this message. I pray that we all learn to manage our mouth. Help us. We can't do it on our own, but by your Spirit in our lives, we can have victory. Lord, we realize our tongue can damage, but it can also delight. Lord, what a great potential we have. Help us to use our mouths and our tongues to bless people. God, help me to use my tongue to bless my wife, to bless my children, to bless the people I work with. God, there is a tremendous potential in it. Help my tongue to give light and warmth rather than destruction. We pray this in Jesus' name.